Hi, welcome to On This Day in Tudor History with me, Claire Ridgway, author of On This Day in Tudor History. Now, where am I taking you to today? Well, I'm taking you back to the year 1598 in the reign of Queen Elizabeth I. For On This Day in Tudor History, the 28th of January 1598, diplomat Edward Barton died of dysentery on the island of Hebiada in the Sea of Marmara off the coast of Istanbul. He was buried on the island in the Christian cemetery. Barton was just 35 years old at the time of his death, but he'd had quite a career. He'd worked his way up from serving merchant and ambassador William Harborne as his assistant and secretary in Istanbul, known as Constantinople then, when Harborne was working there as agent of the Turkey Company of Merchants and first English ambassador, to succeeding Harborne in both of those positions when Harborne left in 1588. Although Barton had been recognised as ambassador by the Ottoman Empire from 1588, it took until 1593 for him to be officially granted the title of ambassador by Queen Elizabeth I. His biographer Christine Whithead explains that the delay was caused largely by the necessity to send a suitably expensive present, on this occasion mainly of garments and lengths of cloth, without which it was unlikely that his official credentials would be favourably received. Barton was very useful in Turkey, more useful than many other agents sent there, because he could speak Turkish and so could deal directly with the Ottomans. Elizabeth I had a very positive relationship with the Ottoman Empire, and this alliance was sensible following her excommunication from the Catholic Church, which isolated her from Catholic Europe. Her excommunication also freed her and English merchants from the Pope's ban from trading with what he called the infidel. And I'm not sure whether the bells are ringing out for the Catholic Church or for the infidel. As Jerry Broughton, author of This Orient Isle, Elizabethan England and the Islamic World, points out, the Ottoman Empire was a 16th century global superpower, which, like Elizabeth I, had been condemned as heretical by the papacy. In 1578, Elizabeth I's advisor and spymaster, Sir Francis Walsingham, recommended Elizabeth sending a merchant to also act in an ambassadorial role to Constantinople. And that man was William Harborne, Edward Barton's boss, and he was sent to Turkey in 1579. Now, here are a few facts about diplomacy between Elizabeth I and the Ottomans at this time. Harborne's first mission was to help set up trading between Turkey and England, and in 1581, Elizabeth gave royal assent to the Levant Company, or Turkey Company, to do this. Historian Jerry Broughton explains that William Harborne and his men, like Edward Barton, were accepted in Turkey by the Ottomans as zimmi, protected guests who paid a tax to remain unmolested in Muslim territory. Much to Spain's fury, England shipped cloth for soldiers' uniforms and scrap tin and lead taken from the roofs and bells of deconsecrated Catholic churches and monasteries was sent to Constantinople, where it was then turned into munitions. The Ottomans then used these in their wars against Spain and the Shia Persian Empire. In return, Elizabeth received spices, pistachio nuts, currants, Turkish carpets, ceramics, damasks, and embroideries. Elizabeth did the same with the Barbary States, swapping metals for gold and sugar, and with Morocco, she sent ship timbers in exchange for saltpetre. Between 1585 and 1587, Sir Francis Walsingham wanted Harborne to persuade the Sultan to attack the Spanish fleet in the Mediterranean, to try and prevent them from attacking England. The Sultan didn't do this, but Harborne's diplomacy did prevent a peace treaty between the Ottomans and Spain. Elizabeth I had a very good relationship with Sultan Murad III throughout the 1580s, and it was also a political alliance. Both of them saw Spain as the enemy, with Elizabeth seeing Spaniards as idolatrous Catholics who falsely professed the name of Christ and feeling that she had more in common with the Ottomans. The Sultan called her Sultana Isabel and viewed England's Protestantism as the most sound religion in Christianity. Elizabeth sent him an elaborate mechanical clock beset with jewels. Above it was a forest of trees of silver, among which were deer chased with dogs and men on horseback following, men drawing water, others carrying mine ore in barrows. On top of the clock stood a castle, and on the castle a mill. All these were of silver. What a magnificent gift. In 1588, it was Edward Barton who encouraged the Queen to correspond with and send gifts to Walid Safiye, the Sultana, which she did from 1593. The first gifts were a jewel of Her Majesty's picture set with some rubies and diamonds, 3 great pieces of gilt plate, 10 garments of cloth of gold, a very fine case of glass bottles, silver and gilt, with 2 pieces of fine Holland. The Sultana reciprocated with a gown of cloth of gold, an undergown of cloth of silver, and a girdle of Turkish work. Elizabeth continued corresponding with her after Murad's death, when Walid's son became Sultan. Later gifts from Elizabeth included a clockwork musical organ and a beautiful carriage. Wow, I'd love to go back in time and see those. By the 1580s, as well as having Harborne and Barton in Turkey, Elizabeth had consuls throughout the Middle East and North Africa. Barton's boss, William Harborne, signed the first English alliance with the Sultan, known as the Capitulations. This alliance remained in place until 1922, when the Ottoman Empire fell. According to the terms of this alliance, English merchants could trade freely throughout the Ottoman territories. Jerry Broughton notes that in the late 16th and early 17th century, 62 plays contained Islamic characters, themes or settings due to England's links with the Muslim world. These included William Shakespeare's Othello, The Merchant of Venice and Titus Andronicus. I love how pragmatic Elizabeth I could be, and how she turned her excommunication into a positive. They do say that the enemy of your enemy is your friend, and it was so true in this instance, wasn't it, Madge? It may have been a beneficial relationship in terms of trade and politics, but it was also a relationship of mutual respect. Good on Elizabeth. Also on this day in Tudor history, the 28th of January 1457, King Henry VII was born. And in 1547, that's a weird thing with the numbers there, his son Henry VIII died. I'll give you a link to my video from last year about those events. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I do hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget to subscribe so that you can enjoy podcasts on a daily basis. Thank you.